Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This podcast is brought to you by The Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to The Village of Bedford Park.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Thursday afternoon, June 12th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. A crash of a Boeing Dreamliner jet in India has killed nearly 250 people. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, on the economic front, inflation stays tame despite tariffs, while jobless claims hold at 8-month highs amid ongoing economic uncertainty. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. Producer prices out today, going up a modest 2.6% in May on a year-over-year basis, with those inflationary pressures still mild. Now, there has been a great deal of discussion, Bob, about what these tariffs, regardless of where they settle, resulting in some inflationary pressure, but it seems like those pressures have yet to show up.
It's sort of like Mark Twain saying that reports of his death are greatly exaggerated. The inflation numbers have been quite muted. There are some more modest tariffs of 10% that have been placed on goods, but those larger tariffs have been set into abeyance, and there has been a lot of talk by economists about uncertainty and all the things uncertainty is going to do and how firms are going to raise prices. And it's just not happening. You know, the last time around when Trump raised his tariffs, there were all this concern, and we didn't have inflation then either. I don't know if Trump has some kind of magic, or if he's just the luckiest guy in the face of this earth, or if we've got a big surprise coming in the next couple of months. But for now, conditions are much more mild than people thought. And while consumer confidence and other survey-type data show some anxiety, what we call the hard data of what people are actually doing rather than what they're telling surveys, they're continuing to spend and life goes on. You know, economists make a big deal about this uncertainty, but we live our lives every day with uncertainty. We walk out of the house. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if there's going to be an accident. We don't know if we're going to win the lottery. We live with uncertainty, and so I think sometimes they make too much out of this uncertainty argument.
So now that we have the consumer price index and the producer price index, the wholesale figure, we have a pretty good idea of where the Fed's preferred inflation gauge, the PCE, is going to check in. And with inflation above or hovering around that 2% target and the labor market decelerating somewhat, at what point do the calls for interest rate cuts get louder and louder?
Well, if you're paying attention to the White House, that's already happening. The president has already called Mr. Powell in and told him he should cut rates. And it's quite interesting because he did this at a time everybody thought that inflation pressure would be building. And instead, we don't have those pressures. And now the president is putting pressure on the Fed chair. And the president looks like he has a much better argument than you would have thought, several weeks ago. But I don't think in this environment, with the tariffs still threatening, that the Fed is going to do anything. As far as the job market goes, job market's still pretty strong. Job gains in the monthly BLS report, the government report, are solid. The ADP report was weaker. And there is deceleration in the government report. Jobless claims today were higher. And you talk about an eight-month high. But if you look at the patterns on that, we had an increase in jobless claims of the same magnitude in some sense last year and even the year before. And in fact, the increases so far this year are less over the last 10 weeks than they were in the past 2 years. So this may simply be a seasonal thing. So this is going to bear some watching. So I don't think we can really say with much confidence that the labor market has weakened.
Bob Bruska, Chief Economist, Fact and Opinion Economics in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, Boeing dealing with another deadly plane crash.
This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A Boeing 787 Dreamliner has crashed in northwest India, killing all 242 passengers and crew on board. It's the first major incident involving that model of aircraft. We're joined by Joe Schwederman, Professor of Public Service and Director of the Chaddock Institute at DePaul University. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And at this point in the air crash investigation, there's just so much about this disaster. We simply do not know. But if you are Boeing, once again, this is a public relations black eye that you have to address immediately.
Oh, it is. And, Boeing, we see that, a terrible day for everybody, Boeing included. And, we see in past crashes, there's been a considerable amount of drama about Boeing shortcuts or problems and things like that. We have no indication that's the case here. The 787, is a newer plane. This is the first model, the first variant of that. So it's been flying a while. But we'll see if it was a mechanical problem. And indeed, if it was, it's going to just add the intensity of the debate about Boeing.
And once again, when we talk about aircraft, it's not necessarily the age. It's the number of takeoff and landing cycles that are involved. And this particular aircraft had 41,000 flight hours and 8,000 takeoffs and landings. And once again, if that plane is properly maintained and is mechanically sound, a commercial aircraft could serve for decades. I mean, I'm thinking back to the DC-9s that used to be the backbone of the old Northwest Airlines fleet. They had been in service since the 60s, and they were still flying in the early 2000s.
Yes, and you could add the DC-3s to the mix, too, which lasted, 50 years in some cases. And just, you're right. And I think, what happened with this accident, we'll wait and see, but something at takeoff occurred. These are General Electric engines, so it could be something related to the manufacturing of the engines. Lots of things happen right at takeoff from a stress standpoint on the airplane. So if it is structural fatigue or something, you wouldn't expect that with a plane that this is new. But the 787 has had a few construction concerns, and let's hope it's not related to that.
Now, this is also an offshoot of consolidation in the aircraft space, because up until 25 years ago, there were two major commercial aircraft makers, Boeing and McDonnell Douglas. One absorbed the other. And so now it's just Boeing and Airbus around the world. And one offshoot of that is, if an American plane has an accident, more often than not, it's a Boeing aircraft.
That's right. And, the two massive companies that pretty much split the world's market, and China has a new plane that's awaiting certification for flying in the U.S. That's going to add a wrinkle. But the two really are matched tit for tat. So the 787 Airbus matched it with the A350. These are both modern, sort of lightweight, using alloy materials, that carbon fiber that lower the weight of the plane. So they've been real successful, more than 1,000 sold of the 787. So that's just the first accident we have seen, and it really turned out to be a bad one.
And then when it comes to just the perception of safety, it seems like every now and then a company or an entity The bad news piles up for them. And this is going back almost 50 years when the DC-10 had a great deal of safety issues, including the crash of Flight 191, American Airlines, outside of O'Hare in 1979. And then there was a point in the 90s where it seemed like the old US Air was having multiple crashes over the course of many years. And then those issues are addressed. And it seems with Boeing, that safety perception is ongoing.
Yeah, it really was. And we did reveal lots of things in the 737 MAX crisis. I recall we had the two accidents that were just caused by problems with the flight guidance system. And we saw when they opened up the hood, so to speak, we saw Boeing had lots of problems internally. We had whistleblowers come out. We had documents that were deceptive. We had bad relations with the FAA and safety certifications. And so Boeing has had a complete transformation. A couple CEOs later, and things are back on a pretty good track. You know, the 737 MAX is selling really well again as airlines try to modernize. But we've been through this sort of thing before when we think Boeing's out of the woods. You know, something else happens, and then we'll see what plays out here.
Joe Sweeterman, professor of public services and director of the Chaddick Institute at DePaul University in Chicago. Thank you for joining us in the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next, enjoy luxury experiences without the cost and commitment of ownership.
It's 60 minutes of financial planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Renting big ticket leisure items like boats, pools, RVs, even vacation homes offers flexibility, fun, and savings without the long-term costs and responsibilities of ownership. Joining us to discuss is Craig Bolanos, co-founder and wealth advisor, VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. Find him online, getretiredstayretired.com. Craig, thank you for joining us today. And it's one of the oldest sayings around, Craig, and that is the happiest day of your life is the day you buy your boat. The second happiest day of your life is the day you sell your boat. And why not rent that boat instead?
Rob, you're talking to a boat owner and also a boat renter. So I got to tell you, this is right up my alley. There's a dream in America to fill up the garage, to have all the toys. But when you really do a feasibility study from ownership to insurance to repair risk, you really got to question the wisdom of owning it when you can simply rent the experience.
I mean, that's a real responsibility, as you know, boat ownership. You have to make sure it's stored during the winter. You have to get it ready for the season. You have to pay to put it in a slip if you do not keep it in your garage. And that's the same thing for an RV. That's the same thing for a vacation home. And when you add up the costs of owning that vacation home, Vrbo looks a lot more attractive.
You know, Rob, I have to say, I think there's a changing landscape. I think there's a changing dynamic relative to American consumerism. There was a time in my career as a wealth advisor that people were focused on stuff. Now we find generations that are focused on experiences, and it's easier to curate a diverse set of experiences when you're renting and you're not tied down, not anchored to something. And I think that's being embraced by so many Americans. It's not just the financial aspect, it's the flexibility that comes with it.
And how did the COVID pandemic change people's attitudes towards owning an RV or owning a boat or owning a vacation home? Because for a while in 2020 and into 2021, that's all you could do. You spent that vacation money, that dream vacation money, on the RV to drive across the country and maybe work remotely, or on that lake house because that was the only place you could go.
Well, I can speak to myself only. You know, whether we're spending time in Southwest Florida, whether I'm spending time in South Central Wisconsin, those are two different properties attached to the water. We saw prices go through the roof during COVID. There was such a demand, such a clamoring, whether it was lake houses, recreational vehicles, RVs, Class A's, fifth wheels. Now there's excess inventory in a lot of places because here we are, 4 to 5 years on the other side of COVID, and people aren't getting the utility anymore that they once did of those things. And when people aren't getting the utility, the inventory comes up, the prices can come down just a smidge. And I encourage everybody to get a budget, do an honest feasibility study of what works for you and your portfolio. And before you buy, you got to try. And that's why renting in so many of these recreational vehicle programs is a great way for Americans to start before they make the plunge into a long-term commitment.
Craig Bolanos, co-founder and wealth advisor, VestGen Wealth Partners in Inverness and Downers Grove. Find him online, getretiredstayretired.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. The markets are higher today. Joining us on the Village of Bedford Park business line, reminding you to bring your business home, is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. Mike, thank you for joining us today. And looking at the market response right now, the three major indices up just slightly on the day so far. Is this an expected response, or is this a muted response to what appears to be some more good economic news, especially when it comes to inflation?
Well, good afternoon, Rob, and thanks for having me on. Yeah, the inflation data just showed a slowing economy. So if you want to call that good, I guess that would be good as far as what the Fed policy might be. So we definitely got some weaker than expected macro data this morning, and also yesterday too. In the CPI report was also fairly weak. Jobless claims were weak. So it definitely looks like the Fed has an opportunity to lower rates if they wanted to in one of these two summer meetings coming up. The question is whether they will, and the market still thinks that they likely will not. But it definitely opens the door to a possible rate decline in either the June meeting or the July meeting.
Now, what risk is invited through the door then if the Fed does cut rates once again, at least, you know, maybe just a half a point before the end of the year? Would that be a prudent cut, or does that potentially throw more gasoline on a smoldering inflation fire?
Well, in my opinion, the data stated that the inflation scare, at least for the time being, is not present. So in my opinion, the proper move here is to lower at least once here in the next two or three meetings, a half point. So they have a meeting in June, July, and then September. But I would expect in June or July for them to make a serious look at lowering once here, because this is definitely a window where we don't have the inflation that we thought we were going to get, and the economy has been weaker than expected. So this would be the time to do it if they're going to do it.
And then what's their belief? What's their take? How are they processing these trade talks that are taking place in London with China? It seems like we have the broad framework of an agreement. And what does that mean?
Well, you know, until it gets, you know, pen to paper and signed off, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. So the market is right now kind of just, you know, uncomfortably calm until they really see what's going to happen. Because Trump came out overnight and said that he's ready for some unilateral tariffs to take place in the next few weeks if they can't come to some agreements. Now, July 9th is the drop-dead date, so we still have some time, but Trump's already starting to talk about possibly raising tariffs back up sooner than that. So there's tugs both ways here, and we are definitely in a period of wait and see, and a very nervous period at that.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. Thank you for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. Coming up next in Technology Thursday, the impact of robots is moving well beyond just household help.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday. Robots are rapidly reshaping home life, factory floors, and farms. Joining us to discuss is Chris Stegg, Chief Technology Officer with the E-Group in Chicago. Chris, thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to avoid falling into the trap, which usually happens when we discuss robots and Technology Thursday, Chris, by talking about asking you to say, talk about all these crazy, wacky new robots that we have entering our lives. And then you say, well, Rob, they've been here for decades, because it's true. They have been here for decades. I mean, robots have been building cars since the 80s.
That's true, but I bet you've never seen them win an advance in America's Got Talent, which they did on Tuesday. One of Boston Dynamics' innovations are these four-legged dancing robots that crushed it with the Queen song, Don't Stop Me Now, and all four judges gave them an advancement. So these things are definitely front and center in our lives. And Boston Dynamics, which is owned by Hyundai, incidentally, plans to use these in factories to build cars, as well as a two-legged robot, which is a more nimble and more useful tool in manufacturing, which is starting to get there instead of these pick-and-place robots like we're used to seeing in current factories.
And we talk about those pick-and-place robots that are responsible for the repetitive motion and doing the same thing for hours on end with precision. But how are these robots different than the robots that came before? Because they do have AI, they do have machine learning capability, which means hours and hours of a human programmer, putting in if-then statements. That's in the past. So they have the ability to use AI. And how does AI superpower a 2025 robot?
Yeah, it's kind of a game changer, because with cameras and the ability to more or less learn on the fly, they can, first of all, do more advanced tasks. Instead of sitting there doing one thing, they can pick a piece from one part of the factory and walk it over to another. And then based on some instructions from the enterprise inventory system, it can go find the next part and bring it to a completely different place. So it's a much better dynamic environment. And these cameras do other things too. In my recent walk around Lake Geneva, I saw for the first time these robotic lawnmowers, which are similarly advancing. You can get these things that are priced around $350 for a small Chicago yard, can do up to a quarter of an acre. They're still pretty pricey if you get the more advanced models, up to $3,000 or so. But as a city goer with a small yard and not much room to store a full-size lawnmower in a garage, it might not be a bad investment.
And also, I mean, speaking as a homeowner who gets a certain degree of Hank Hill-style satisfaction, Chris, out of mowing my own lawn, I don't see the utility in that. But if you have a second property, or if you are a landlord and you have to freshen up the lawn on the two flat that you own in the city, the robot lawnmower makes a lot of sense.
That's true. I think we'll see more in our everyday lives in the city, more of these food delivery robots, which have started to swarm Fulton Market and West Loop, River West, and other areas where DoorDash is partnering with Coco Robotics to stick their hot meals in these robots that will instantly deliver them down the block or across the neighborhood. So I think we'll likely see more of those out in our neck of the woods.
And then what about you? We talked about these robots that wowed the judges on America's Got Talent. And it's great that a robot can dance to the catalog of Queen. But what is the ultimate purpose of the robots with arms and legs that can dance and can do these obstacle courses? What's their practical application?
Well, I think in manufacturing, there's innumerable ways in which these things will be used, much like Hyundai is doing. In the home, it remains to be seen. You know, it's still difficult for these things to tackle stairs, for instance. But when they do, you could envision a robot that cleans your house. You could envision one that vacuums for you. You could envision one that takes care of an elderly person. So once these stairs are tackled, I think that will make a huge leap. In the house, though, today, there is a advancement from CES recently, which SwitchBot robots came out, which not only vacuum, but they can pick up things. They have cameras on them to watch over your pets remotely, and they even have an air purifier on them. So you're starting to see a convergence at a reasonable price point. Instead of the just $700 for a Roomba that does one thing, these things are starting to converge and offer multiple services. So I think you'll start to see that. But don't give up the old Dyson if you've got a multi-floor home, because this firm that had a patent and some Kickstarter funding to try to maneuver stairs failed because of the difficulties thereof.
Well, it's very comforting, Chris, to know that if the robots do turn on us, at least today, that I can escape by just going up a short flight of stairs.
Right. Head to the second floor, folks.
Chris Stegg, Chief Technology Officer with eGroup in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, a look at how America's aging population threatens economic growth, stock returns, and retirement stability.
The only program dedicated to currency events. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
America's rapidly aging population could spell trouble for stocks and retirement plans. Joining us to discuss this is Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. Mark, thank you for joining us today. And when talking about demographics in the future, is this a function of a population that is just simply getting older and living longer? Or is this a function of a population that is where younger people are having fewer babies?
Well, it's a little of both. It turns out that, first I should say, that the discussion about population is unlike a lot of things you and I talk about on this show, which are relatively short term. Demography really only applies to the very, very long term. We're talking 10 or 20 or more years down the road, which is why people who are planning for their retirement way down the road should be paying attention to this. It's not a short term indicator by any means. And it turns out the indicator that researchers have found to have the greatest long term correlation with the stock market is a ratio of those who are in the middle of their age, that's called the middle cohort, relative to the people who are young or old. And it's the reason for that ratio having the predictive ability that it does is that the people in that middle cohort are those who are earning the most and presumably putting the most money, saving the most money and putting it into the stock market. And that ratio, believe it or not, for the U.S. will be rising for the next 10 years or so and then go into a long-term decline. So what that suggests for very, very long-term financial planning is that in the next decade or so, we should start reducing the amount of money we have in the stock market relative to what some of the financial planning formulas would otherwise suggest.
Well, Mark, speaking as someone who's in that middle category, I can't really vouch for the other attributes of that category, but I'm definitely in the middle old category for sure. If you're looking at retirement 20 years down the road, how can you use these demographic trends to maybe inform your strategy, or at the very least, give you a roadmap to follow?
Well, that, of course, is the $64,000 question. What I would say is that sometime in the next decade or so, and this is not something that you have to do overnight or urgently, but you start reducing the amount of money you have in the stock market relative to what you otherwise would have done. Now, to use an example, a lot of the financial planners have formulae that say that you should take 120 and subtract your age. That's one sort of rule of thumb. And that should be the percentage that you would allocate to the stock market. And so, of course, as you get older, that reduces the amount in the stock market. But that is a rule of thumb that's derived from very long-term research. And what the demography would suggest is that we reduce it even more than what that rule of thumb would suggest.
Mark Hulbert, investment columnist for the Wall Street Journal, Barron's, and MarketWatch.com in Washington. Thank you for joining us today.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.